Hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA? Let's start this show with our first cup.
Oh, Dana, fill it up tall here. That's what I want to say.
It's ready to go, man.
Yeah, I guess that's where one of those coffee places get the word tall from, right? Because you assume that would be a big cup. Because who would want to drink out of a tall, skinny cup that would easily tip over, right?
Absolutely. We need a tall, sturdy, maybe like 30, 40 ounce.
Oh, my. You've gone big there. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And then venti size, I don't know what that means unless you're talking that the coffee you'd be drinking would be super hot. So I don't understand all these size things. So that's about where it starts and ends for me. But yes, 30 to 40 ounces. Wow.
Let's go.
At least you didn't just come straight out and say in the morning you're drinking a 40-ouncer.
Yeah, you know,
that implies something.
Yeah, that does imply something, especially if I mention any brown bags.
Oh, yes, of course, because that's the kind of drink you'd put in a brown bag, I believe.
Absolutely. But, you know, this is not that type of a morning.
No. No, what are we, this is what, day number two for our spring semester? I know some schools out there have been in this game already a few weeks, but not us.
Right.
It's day number two.
Day number two. So how was it for you yesterday?
It was busy. Now, I'm not even on the counter. I give it to you and the rest of the staff
nonstop, man.
Have to hold that down. But no, I mean, it was, first of all, my VPN's not working, as you know. So we talked about that at the start of the show. So that always slows things down. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can still get on the, you know, we use Office 365. So
yes.
I can get some stuff. And I put a few things in my OneDrive that do not have any personally identifiable information, but other spreadsheets and stuff, you know, that I can use, mm-hmm. You know, until we get our SharePoint set up securely. And we're getting close, working on that. But there's just certain things I can't do until I'm back on VPN. And it's one of those things that someone's got to go to campus and hit the button and then see if we can get my computer to work, as always. Man.
So you're going to bust a mission to campus.
I will later this week, yeah. And because I forgot to pick up something last time in my office. Luckily, it's not like food items. We've taken care of that. But there's some other stuff I needed to still pick up. And I still got like one of those big rolly carts from the office I want to take back. Because I don't need any more of my space in my tiny little place here taken up with other things.
with other supplies.
Yeah, I mean, until I move to my, you know, house of 3,000 to 4,000 square feet where, you know, I could throw that in the garage.
Yes, you can.
I don't have the space right now. So
okay, got you.
So Dana, how was your weekend?
It's pretty good. It's pretty quiet. You know, gearing up for the start of the spring semester. Uh huh. So lots of rest.
No big Super Bowl parties for you?
No big Super Bowl parties. How about for you, sir?
No. Just a couple friends. That's it.
Okay.
Like in a garage kind of situation, you know, so plenty of spacing. I got you. Uh-huh. So did your favorite team win?
So I'm just going to keep it real with you, Dennis. I didn't watch it. I don't even look.
Oh, my goodness.
I was telling you before the show, I didn't even know Brady was playing.
Okay. At least you know Brady, right?
I know who he is. Yes. I just didn't even know he, you know, was a Chief.
He's not a Chief. He's a Buccaneer.
Oh, sorry.
Oh my goodness. This is how far. Oh, my. Please, everyone out there, please, Mikey K, forgive Dana for not knowing about football. He's right now probably laughing his butt off. One of our good listeners. But no, Tom Brady, mm-hmm. TB12, as they call him, because that's his number.
Okay. That's his nickname?
That's his number. Yeah, 12. You know, so TB12 moved from the Patriots to the Buccaneers.
Okay.
And, of course, you know, that was actually, the Buccaneers were a very long shot to win the Super Bowl at the start of the season.
Apparently, yeah, I had heard that.
Apparently I know someone who knows someone who put down a little bit of money, like a few thousand dollars now.
Whoa.
And won, so and won many thousands of dollars for the Buccaneers winning the Super Bowl. But beyond that, yeah, as far as the game goes, unfortunately, it did get boring because
that's what
the,
I heard.
The poor Chiefs and all just were not able to get over the hump of their defense of the Buccaneers. And Tom Brady was pretty efficient throwing to people who also were former New England Patriots that came over to play with him. So, you know, it's, you know, it's kind of like one of these things that you get some synergy when you get a guy like Tom Brady, and then he has the ability to get guys to come to him to help play. So Gronkowski, one of his former receivers that retired, came out. Antonio Brown, who had played for a minute at Patriots, came down to play, and he just had these offensive weapons with him.
Okay. So would you say that Tom Brady is the LeBron James of basketball?
Oh, absolutely. And maybe even more, because when they talk in football, they always talk about the GOAT, the greatest of all time, right? And although I'm a gigantic Packer fan, and I'd like to believe Aaron Rodgers would be that because he's a superb quarterback, but lost to Tom Brady on the way to the Super Bowl, and doesn't have nearly as many Super Bowl rings, seven, that Tom Brady has. Tom Brady has more Super Bowl rings than any given team has Super Bowls. So, I don't know how you not say that he isn't anymore the greatest of all time. But, yeah, he's in that kind of thing. The LeBron, he's like a LeBron. He's like a Michael Jordan. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, a Stan Gretzky kind of a hockey player. He's just, there's just certain people, as a friend says, that the man from above has sprinkled just once in a while this one person, the Tiger Woods type of player, with just inalienable, you know, abilities that you just would not expect otherwise from any players. I mean, there's always great players, but there's something about it when you put him into things, Tom Brady wins. I mean, this is his 10th Super Bowl that he's gone to. He's won seven of them. I mean, it's just, that's a pretty, he's getting to the point that he's like Phil Jackson, who was a coach for,
you know,
for basketball teams. He's getting close to running out of fingers now for all the rings.
for all his championships.
And he's 43 years old, which for most quarterbacks is a little on the older side.
And he
looks like he has no reason to quit. And he's got great hair. Have you seen Tom Brady's hair?
Oh, but he's got good hair.
He really does. It's just, it almost annoys me a little bit. Because at that age, I did not have anywhere close to great hair.
Okay.
That great hair of mine disappeared, was starting to disappear in my 30s. And Tom Brady's 43.
Is it his?
Oh, I think it's his.
Okay.
He apparently has, I forgot what they call it. It's like the Tom Brady regimen or something like that. There's a term for this. I'll have to go to my sports people on this later. But it's literally like, you know, he's got this whole mindset and everything else. I think he's very particular about, like, what he eats, the type of foods, water, hydrating, all of that. And I think that's part of what he gives as his reason for why he's performing as well as he does.
Because of how well he's taking care of himself.
Exactly. I mean, because for 43, he just looks fantastic. You got to consider his job is out on the field being athletic. And he is very athletic. He's not known for running. Like, if Tom Brady runs for a touchdown, that means the ball, when they hiked the ball, was about 3 inches away from the goal line. Tom Brady never breaks for 20 yards for a touchdown, almost ever. You know, he's a different mobility because, again, he's got so many great tools otherwise to throw the ball or hand off. But, yeah, he's keeping it up. And he's got three cute kids that were all up on the stand at the end of the game. His daughter's just like jumping in the air, trying to hold on to the Super Bowl trophy. And the boys are just kind of in the back, like looking away. It was kind of funny.
Okay.
It's funny because like the daughter's holding it. They're like one of the sons who's, they're all like probably like 10 or under, takes it from him. And then like, is trying to hand it back to dad. Like, you know, you're my sister's going to break this thing, you know, kind of look on the face there. Responsible, responsible family.
Yes.
And, he, you know, he's married to a supermodel too, right?
Giselle, right?
Exactly, yeah. So this poor man, the strife he's got to go through in life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly having to explain, you know, or being told that he's not the prettiest one in the room.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was, yeah, that was the weekend. I have to say that I didn't have any money on the game, so I had no skin in it. Neither one of them were my teams.
Man, if only you could, you know, have looked into the future and saw what was going to happen.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, I don't want to say I would want to bet against Tom Brady, but I really should have bet with him just on a whim if I knew that. I forgot what the payoff was, too. It must have been like 20 to 1 or 50 to 1 or higher that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the start of the season would go all the way to and win the Super Bowl. Because they take those bets in Vegas, of course. So you can, you know, people, and the whole idea there is that, you know, there will be a team like the New York Jets who probably won't see a Super Bowl for many years, and they've just played really awfully, unfortunately. Sorry, my Jets fans out there, that are like 1,000 to 1. But you'll get Jets fans who are in Vegas for whatever reason and see it on the board at the start of the season, and they'll put like $100 down. Because, you know, at 1,000 to 1, that's a lot of money to come back to.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But all that money gets lost on the 31 teams that don't make and win the Super Bowl. And most years, the odds are much smaller because you get teams like the New England Patriots year after year that are, you know, probably like 2 to 1 or 3 to 1 because they tended to win a lot of Super Bowls in the last 10 to 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep that in mind, Dana, when you're in Vegas next.
And,
where to put your money? Know.
The thing is, I'm not really a betting woman, but good grief.
Yeah, I know, right?
There's money to be made if you know how to play it, right?
Apparently so, yeah. Now, talking about money and how not to make it is to run a conference. Because we're not doing it for the money, people. We are doing it for you. But our conference, you know, is coming up first week of next month, March 2nd, 3rd, 4th.
Something? That is on that level.
Yes. Every days turn into nights, nights turn into days. It is nothing but pre-conference prep work here going on for everybody. But just, you know, registration's going well. I think we're getting close to cracking over 100 like a week ago. So I'll have new numbers tomorrow when we do a check-in meeting with me and all the people handling different parts of the program for the conference. But definitely if you are out there and you have not registered yet for the CISFA conference, please do so. Dana, do you know how much it costs this year?
$100.
That's right, everybody. $100. You know, whereas normally we have to charge, you know, like $250 to $350, mm-hmm. depending upon the year and what site we're at, because food costs money. We're not doing your food this year, everyone. It would be nice if we could do that, you know, like a conference in a box with food and all, but I'd have to get a deal with like those Blue Apron people or whatever.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah. Or like, oh man, like if you had a deal with like Grubhub or
Uber
Eats or something like that.
Oh my god, that would definitely eat up all the money. Then it'd be like a $500 conference. But your Grubhub food would be coming out to you, you know?
Right. Uh huh.
I like that.
Uh huh. That'd be super cool.
Well, we'll save that for a future possibility. But this one is only $100, so please make do on that, everybody. Sign up soon. We want to make sure that everyone signs up like in the next week or two, because the week before the conference is when all those who are registered will start to get the links to the online platform and some pre-information about all the sessions, all the exact sessions, and when they'll be laid out in the agenda. We want to make sure that you're all lined up for that. So don't forget to do that, everybody. And then lastly, and we'll do news apparently in the second segment here. This will be the last item for this item is CISFA elections. Now, Dana, were you a member last year or a member this year that you can vote in the elections? Did you get your email?
Unfortunately not.
Oh, okay. Well,
I know, huh?
Yeah, it's always usually you had to have gone to the conference, and we didn't do any training this last year. Right. That would have picked up some new people. So,
yeah.
Yeah, anyone who was signed up for conference last year, we carried over their membership for another year. So if you got an email from our webmaster or from CISFA talking about voting, please, everybody, go out there and vote for our election. We'd like it. I think we've got only a week or so here to go for voting. We've got people running, obviously, for all the normal offices. President-elect, vice president of federal issues this year, because that's a two-year term, and it flip-flops with the state one. Secretary, treasurer-elect. Treasurer-elect is a three-year cycle, just like the president. And then also, because this is a special year, we have to fill my successor, who originally left, so we have that opening. So that's open, too. And that person will be president of CISFA from July 1st of this year till the next June. So definitely vote, everybody. Get out there and vote. We got fantastic candidates. And for the candidates out there who are listening, keep in mind, if you do not win this year for whatever reason, you know, just remember to consider running again. Everyone's time shows up at some point for whatever position you want. There's always positions in the association. And depending upon how the vote goes in this election, there may be the need for people who are in other positions to give up their positions. So there's some flippy floppy things that could happen. So we want to make sure that everyone continues to stay involved with the association.
So Dennis, are you telling me I could potentially be the treasurer?
At some point, absolutely. I would hope that someday you consider running, Dana.
You would trust me to be treasurer?
Yes. Yes. I do. You know why? Because I know you know what a checkbook is. Because you and Miss Victoria, your mother there.
Yes.
And we still do write quite a few checks as an association. So yes, I trust that you could handle that, Dana. And here's why. Our association, we're not poor, but we certainly don't have enough money worthwhile trying to figure out how to steal. That's a whole thing. Believe me. Having been treasurer myself numerous times, we have good financial strength, but it's not like we're sitting on millions of dollars, everybody. We have reserves for bad years, but we're not millionaires.
So, I can't have like gold tables and...
No.
Okay, for when I plan stuff.
Well, like, that's because this is where, again, Dana, we would save money by having you as treasurer. Would mean that you're not planning our conferences. Knowing how you've ran some of our events in the past, we wouldn't have to worry too much about you overspending. But anyways, Dana, why don't we take a little musical interlude here and move our way into the actual news part of the show.
And we're back for our second cup on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
Time for a little refill here so that we can get into it. So as it says on my screen, continue with the unread news items. That would be all of them. So let's start off. So me, as a paying subscriber to the online Wall Street Journal, you know, on top of all the research I do on shorting the market lately, right, I found a good article that relates to us titled, "You've received a college financial aid offer, now what?" The article does a good job of breaking down the important steps for a family when reviewing and comparing aid award offers from multiple schools, as you know, a lot of our high schoolers will be doing over these next few months as they consider where to go. As I implored during all of the financial aid presentations I do, though, every year to high schools, or really more recently by Zoom, it's the net cost that matters. So quoting Lori Vetter, financial aid director at the University of Michigan in Flint, as reported in the article, it's the net cost, what a family will pay out of pocket, that can help drive the decision. Although I hope students and families look beyond price when applying to and attending college, finances can be a high priority in the ranking of schools to consider. The article does a fair, nonpartisan take on how families can appeal their financial aid offers, explaining how families who've had big changes in their finances could appeal and potentially have changes made to what they're offered. You know, maybe more grants, less loans. Mm-hmm. Also, the article explains how some aid may require additional steps beyond simple acceptance, like work study and student loans, for example. Work study, obviously, there's the need to figure out how do you get a job on campus, and with loans, Just like any loan in our life, you got to sign a promissory note. So you got to do that too. Mm-hmm. So as always, we'll have a link in to the article in our show notes. If it's behind a paywall, I apologize, but maybe it's time for people to put a little money out there and pay for some news. You're more than willing to pay for Netflix and Hulu and everything else, everybody. Pay for a little news. Get good news.
So, Dennis, we have some updates from Federal Student Aid, or FSA. FSA posted an electronic announcement on Friday last week regarding the closeout of the 2019-2020 Federal Direct Loan Program. If you didn't know, you have until July 30th of this year to close out your program and get your ending cash balance to zero. And you need to complete and submit your school balance confirmation form available through the COD website. Dennis, I hope you took care of this.
Yes, right? we took care of this a couple months ago, so we're on top of things.
Hey, there we go. Like to hear that. So we'll include a link to the electronic announcement in our show notes.
All right. Well, for some more interesting reading from FSA, they released another electronic announcement last week, Thursday. This one dealt with the release of the 2021-2022 Federal School Code List of Participating Schools. This is the complete list of colleges and universities that are participating in the federal Title IV student aid programs in the coming year. It's not a bad idea to download the full spreadsheet, and while you're at it, make sure the information for your own school is correct. For example, if you have an incorrect address listed, you can fix this through your e-app online. We'll include information for both the electronic announcement and the e-app websites in our notes.
Well, let's do the trifecta of free promotions for FSA today. Okay. As always, after all, we're already halfway through the 2020-2021 academic year. FSA is releasing Volume 3 for their 2020-21 handbook. Volume 3 covers calculating awards and packaging. It's a good thing we waited until now to start packaging, right?
I hope we didn't, seeing that this would be awards for last summer till now, right?
Right? Could you imagine, man? Oh, yeah, man.
Exactly.
Anyways, we'll have a link to the electronic announcement regarding the release of Volume 3 of the FSA handbook.
So it's more of a, you know, formality, everybody. Basically, just download it, put it into your resources. It's a nice little PDF.
That is too funny.
Might be just a little bit on the late ball there. Well, I read an interesting article from the James G. Martin Center for Academic Renewal on their website about how we can close the skills gap for students by creating industry-vetted certificate programs for students. So this isn't specific about financial aid, everyone, but it's about us and what we do in the community colleges. As noted in the article, in a survey from 2014 of over 600 business leaders, only 11% strongly agreed that college grads had the skills needed by their companies. The gap, according to the article, has only widened since. The mismatch stems partially from the disconnect between the curriculum and programs created by our faculty, who do not often work in or are connected well with the industries hiring our students. Even STEM majors are affected by this. The article recommends colleges and universities embed skills-focused courses within their degree programs so that students who graduate with associate's or bachelor's degrees will be better prepared to enter the workforce with both the theoretical knowledge they need and the actual skills needed and requested for their entry-level work. The author suggests embedding these courses and programs within the arts, humanities, and business degrees, which will make our students' programs and the students more relevant to the jobs they'll be entering when they graduate. So I'll make sure we have a link for that also in our show notes.
You know, have we been forgetting to give free advertising to our friends at the California Student Aid Commission, Dennis?
Well, let's do something for them. I know it's been a few articles here now, maybe a few days.
Okay, well, guess what? Just recently, CSAC posted a special alert memo announcing live Cal Grant regional training webinars. Starting in March and going into May, the training is split into three live webinars of 2 to 3 hours each. There are a couple of different dates for each of the sessions, and no need to take them in any given order. For more on this, check out Special Alert GSA 2021-04. We'll put a link to it in our show notes.
Yes, if you're not receiving those operation memos and special alert memos from CSAC, there's right. ways to sign up for that. And then you'll get a little email reminder on these things. All right, Dana, I think we have enough time for our last two articles here of news. So, Dana, are you receiving the emails from our Cash for College and our LA Cash for College folks?
Unfortunately, no, I haven't been receiving any communications.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to get you signed up for this. So,
yeah,
they recently sent out their flyer reminding us in financial aid world to get our students in line and filling out their FAFSAs or Dream Act applications. With the Cal Grant deadline looming on March 2nd, students need to get their forms done now and not wait until the last minute, even though we're getting close to that last minute. To help our students, Cash for College is offering on-demand workshops throughout the month of February. If you have questions or need to figure out which form to complete, they can help you do that. Check out the workshops and more about at the website yourfutureLA.com. That's because it's tied to the LA Cash for College people. And we'll put that link into our show notes for everybody. But otherwise, the statewide program at Cash for College, you definitely want to check out their website too.
So, you know, Dennis, it wouldn't be a What's Brewing CSFA show if I didn't hit you up for some training.
Of course.
Well, CASFA is offering up the NASFA credential topic of cost of attendance on Wednesday, February 17th. Training is provided by a NASFA U colleague and runs for 3 hours. And the cost? Well, that's the best part for you, Dennis. It's only $50.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge savings over doing the training through NASFA directly. And the training comes with the official NASFA U study guide and a discount voucher code that knocks the cost off the optional credential test down to $49.95, a 50% mm-hmm. savings over the $99 cost that NASFA regularly charges for the test. Sounds good, huh?
It does. Affordable. That's what I say.
Yeah, very, very much affordable. Mm-hmm. So, Dennis, if you want me to attend, just let me know. I'll put a link in the show notes for you and our audience.
That's so very kind of you, Dana. Yes, this is great. This is a great deal. It does save you a lot, even if you're a NASFA member or not. doesn't matter. But yeah, $50 for one of their training, and then they do an optional test so you can get the credential. Mm-hmm. And so it's two different things. So. Even at $100 total, well worth it, everybody.
Absolutely.
Definitely, definitely. Well, let's take a little musical interlude here because we're down to our last little segment for the day. And just like that, Dana, look at that. We're back for our last sip segment. And as always, I always have to go to you, Dana, and ask, mm-hmm. any I Dare You To selections for today?
I'm not ready to say it yet, okay. But I believe you have a I Dare You.
I do. So I'd recently signed up for one of those music streaming services. And me being the audiophile that I am, or trying to be always, mm-hmm. I pay for mine.
Yeah, the fancy one.
Yeah, the fancy one that talks about... the waves of the ocean, like a mm-hmm. tidal wave kind of place. And so I try to explore every week some of the albums in the new hi-fi albums for you section. Because, again, that's why I pay for it, because you get high fidelity. You get, at the minimum, CD quality sound, if not better. But Joey Alexander, I don't know if you've heard that name before. He is this prodigy out of China. He's a Chinese person who plays piano, young. I think he started like at age 9 or 10 or something. Okay. He got his first album in his mid-teens. Well, he's got a new one. It's jazz, but he is so fantastic. And he's done some different things in that world, you know, doing a some different, like, almost tribute albums. And even got a live album out there, too, in the last few years. But... the new Joey Alexander album is just fantastic jazz piano music. It's just him and like his little trio or quartet oftentimes playing on the album. So I put that out there as my I Dare You To. The other thing is, if you don't have a streaming service, I suggest you consider it. Unless you are buying a fair amount of vinyl or otherwise, don't stop doing that. Right, Dana? We want to keep people buying vinyl and all that other good stuff.
Absolutely, yes.
But as a way to explore music, to maybe finding more music in line with what you want, consider these streaming services, just because then you can sample more stuff. But I would say that if you want to make certain that music continues and the good music continues, you know, invest then in actual hard media if you can afford to do so. And between you and if you're married, your spouse, decide that you have room to store this stuff, because it can get out of hand, especially when you're a vinyl head. And maybe that'll be my next I dare you to set up there, Dana. I have books we'll talk about home audio libraries.
Okay.
Amazingly, just so you know, I have more than one book. That's why. But, well, that's about all we have time for today then. But there's always our next episode. I want to thank my co-host Dana for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA. And, of course, thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And everyone, check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. And if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at WBCISFA@gmail.com.
For this and all WBC podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com. For those using Apple devices, open your podcast app and search for us using CISFA. You can also find our episodes at wbcisfa.podbean.com. That's pod and bean is one word. And you can find us on Spotify or Pandora or iHeartRadio. And lastly, you can listen to us through the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and myself.
This has been episode number 62, recorded the morning of Tuesday, February 9th, 2021. Have a great day.
And have a great week.